Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Okay, we have a special episode today. We have three amazing entrepreneurs, and we're going to be talking about the Branded by Women Conference, three-day conference that's coming up through Seller Sessions. And what I wanted to do is just talk with Anne Ferris, Michelle Venton, and Kellyanne Fedio. And Kellyanne, you've always had to, you know, we've always talked back and forth on podcasts, but I've never pronounced your name before, so I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Anyway, Kelsey, where are you?
Hello, welcome, welcome everyone.
Hey, so special show.
Yes. So
caught you in the middle of a coffee.
Yeah, that's there right. Yeah, I'll hold off for now. But yes, welcome everyone. This is our special Tuesday episode. So we hope you guys can come and join us. So I guess first off, if you're not part of the Beard Nation already, I'll put the comments, put in the comment section, but join our Facebook group. It's Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective. And if you're new here, if you want to check out an episode that you missed or you came in a little late, all the episodes go right over to the YouTube channel. It's called Norm and Farrar. But if you search Lunch with Norm, and it'll probably come up too. So I'll put all those links in the bio, in the comment section, and get you guys ready.
Yeah, and we're hoping we're going to have a big crowd here today. We don't normally podcast on Tuesdays, but we got a bit of promotion out. This is going to be a really great conference. As you know, we don't do a lot of promoting, but the reason why we're doing this is not so much for the conference, it's for the people behind the conference, people that are friends to the show, like Danny McMillan and the ladies that are going to be on. So I'm really looking forward to it. If you are looking at this, if you're not watching this live, you can just skip ahead and go right to our Facebook fan page, which has all of the content, the highlights, and other types of content other than the podcast. All right. So welcome, Tony, Mira, Faye. Glad to see you here. If you know more people that are interested in Branded by Women, please tag them and get them into the podcast.
And so, I should mention, we do have a giveaway. We have three giveaways today.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that more later. But, guys, stick around for that. It should be good.
Oh, Simon, Andrew, of course.
Tony canceled a meeting to be here. So that.
All right, Tony. Love it. Okay. All right, so why don't we get this started? So why don't everybody sit back, relax, grab your cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. Ladies, wow, star-studded panel today. This doesn't usually happen. So anyways, first of all, why don't we just kind of go around and just introduce yourself and tell everybody just about yourself, and we'll talk about the conference happening with Seller Sessions. So let's start with Michelle.
Hi. Yes, so Michelle Venton from the UK. I have been running my own businesses since 2007, and I entered the crazy world of selling on Amazon in 2015. Started off doing the ASM course, learned everything, you know, over the years with multiple products. And then I finally started niching down into a nice micro brand. And I had a nice exit in October 2019. And after that exit, I have decided to start again. And I've just launched brand number two.
Very good. And you're coming to us from just south of London, correct?
Yeah, I'm from Bournemouth on the south coast of the UK.
And what's it like there today?
Well, I think it's freezing and I'm really cold. And then I look at yourself and Kelsey in Canada and I can't say that. But and then I look at where Anne is and I'm just so jealous. But so it's cold. It's very cold, but not by Canadian standard.
Okay. Kellyanne, did I pronounce your last name properly?
Very close. And that's what it's how people usually pronounce it, but it's Fedio.
Fedio. Okay. All right. I mean, we've talked so much, but I've never had to say your last name.
It's okay. I blame my husband. I took his name. And ever since then, you know, it's always mispronounced, but it doesn't matter because everybody gets the gist.
Very good. So Kellyanne, let's talk about your background a bit.
Sure. So I like to call myself a recovering attorney. I got into the e-commerce and Amazon selling world, similar to Michelle, in 2014 and took the ASM course and was part of Ryan Moran's The Tribe. And so met a lot of great folks there. I really attribute a lot of my learnings to the folks that I met in there. And I scaled my brand and I sold it for seven figures. And we closed right before COVID hit last year in February of 2020.
Yeah, you have a fantastic podcast, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amazon Exits. So you have to check
exits.
That out.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah. Amazing Exit. By the way, I don't know what it is, but why are so many attorneys coming over to Amazon?
I know. Because we're bored, Norm. We're bored.
Anne Ferris. So another attorney going convert over to Amazon.
Yes, my name is Anne Ferris. Hello, everyone. I am also a recovering attorney. I left my job in 2013 to move to Costa Rica and have been here ever since. And in 2017, I started my Amazon brand and I also did the ASM course. I became obsessed with Norm the first time I saw him speak at an ASM conference. And yeah, since then, I have my current brand. I'm launching a second brand with a partner pretty soon. And my real passion is for branding, the creative process, social media, multimedia, and all of that.
And you are incredible with your branding, by the way. You know, I know the brand. I've seen what you've done with it, and it really is incredible. I don't know. It's all Polynesian to me. You know, I love Hawaii, so.
Yeah. Well, coming from you, that means a lot, because you are a branding superstar, so.
I don't know about that, but I like what you're doing. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Branded by Women conference. Why is this important? Anybody can take this question.
Well, because it's all women. That's why. Enough said.
You know, and when I first saw this, so I went to a conference, the Empower Women conference. This is, I think that was one of the last conferences I went to. And you know what? That's what you would think, at least for me. Oh, it's a conference for women, but it wasn't. Well, first of all, you know, the people that were on stage in that conference were all incredible entrepreneurs. But the questions that I was saying, I just put out on social media, hey, I'm going to be over here in Manhattan Beach, blah, 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 blah. And people started pinging me and just saying, why are you going to a women's conference? Okay, so if I had all males on stage, would I not go to that conference? Or if I had the chance to see three incredible people or a bunch of incredible people talking, would I not take the advice? So it's not limited. I think it's important that people know that this conference is just an incredible conference. And it's run and it has incredible women involved with it. But, you know, you're going to get so much more out of the conference. And that's not me kissing butt. I know all of you and I know a lot of the other speakers. I mean, it's going to be a really great conference.
Amen.
Yes. So I just wanted to stick that in there. But
I think what's really great. Yeah, I said that in my social media posts as well, that Branded by Women isn't just for women. It's for anyone who's an entrepreneur or wants to be an entrepreneur in the online space. You know, what's unique is that all of the presenters are women. And what's special about that is that I think in the teaching space, especially and the speaking space, that there are so many men, and it has traditionally been dominated by men, but there are so many amazing female entrepreneurs. And I think that we just bring a different perspective. So it's a chance to really learn some great content and maybe hear something from a different perspective that you wouldn't have necessarily thought of before. But all the content is geared, you know, towards any entrepreneur.
I had a back and forth. I don't know if it was on one of the Helium 10 forums, but one of the larger ones. And the question or the comment that he put out was, why are we treating women differently? Why are they going onto a pedestal? And I said what you said, Anne. I can't talk, or I can't walk a mile in their shoes without being a woman. And it is different, you know, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So what are some of the hurdles that come up in day-to-day life for women that, you know, maybe the average person doesn't understand?
Oh, I'll take this one.
Absolutely
right. We all come at life with different backgrounds and different obstacles and different hurdles to overcome. We're not saying that we've got it really hard and everyone else has got it really easy, but maybe the obstacles that we face are different, or, you know, a lot of us, we just have different hurdles to overcome. And for me personally, I mean, I think it's quite true to say that women tend to put everyone else first and themselves second, you know, whether that could be your parents, your children, your friends, your work colleagues. And it's really hard to put yourself first. So when I watched my father, he was an entrepreneur, and I always wanted to start my own business. But I never could find the time because I was either working or something else was coming before that. And it was when I was on my maternity leave with my first child, I thought, you know what, this is a now or never. If I don't get off this corporate treadmill now, I'm never going to have the opportunity to really go for this. So then when I had my child, I was trying to start my business. It's all I'd ever wanted. But then I had a newborn on my arm. I'm a carer to my mother. I'm a wife to my husband. Then I had my second child. And these were all great things. These are all things I really wanted as well. But my day looked like, you know, getting up at the crack of dawn, looking after babies, going to toddler group when they were asleep for their naps. You'd run up to the office and try and do, you know, a couple of hours while they were sleeping. Then the doorbell would ring. And my office was up in the loft, which an attic, I think you call it. So I was up and down this step ladder, you know, the tumble dryer would start beeping at me and I'd be in the middle of a call or I'd be trying to do some work and I'd have to run downstairs, take the washing out of the tumble dryer, get back upstairs to the office, and then the doorbell would ring because an Amazon parcel had been delivered, and then I'd have to get dinner on, and I was snatching every 20 minutes I could. I was just snatching, and I used to feel, I don't know if bitter is the right word, but I used to, God, imagine what I could accomplish if I could just have 8 hours straight every day to really focus on this and to, you know, to reach my goals. And it just wasn't possible. And now I'm not saying that, you know, men or other people don't have obstacles and they're not trying to do this around a full-time job or anything. But I just think it is, we're mums and we're children and we're trying to do everything at the same time. And we're good at doing lots of things at the same time. But it creates this pressure. I'm always trying to please everyone else. And also the confidence levels are different, perhaps. I know when I used to go to the ASM conferences, they were amazing, but it was 80, 85% men on stage. And I just couldn't resonate with a lot of them because they were flying around the world, going to masterminds here or living out the back of a combi truck in some country with a laptop. And I couldn't relate to that because I was at home with children. I was looking after my mum, and it didn't mean my goals were any different or my passion wasn't any different, but I just couldn't connect with that. And it can really lower your confidence when you just think it's not a level playing field and, you know, you just can't compete on that level. So to hear people speaking, women like ourselves, who maybe it's just a connection or you relate to something or they've got a similar background to you or similar obstacles, it increases your confidence and you know that you can do it and, you know, you can relate to them so much stronger. That was how it was for me anyway.
And Michelle, you've become a very successful Amazon seller, as well as, you know, just a person that's out there speaking about Amazon, but you are an Amazon entrepreneur. So you've been able to take that time, get the education and, you know, just do it, which is incredible.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's all you can do. You've got to be in the game. You've got to learn your craft. You've got to keep your ears open. You've got to practice. You've got to take one step forward, two steps back, but you just got to keep going. And, you know, if you're doing everything that the right people are telling you to do, and you put your heart and soul into it and you make some good decisions, then it can be done. It can be done for anyone. I managed to do it. I had a great exit, very successful. And I did that while looking after two kids, caring for a mum and, you know, walking the dog and everything else. It can be done. You just need to have confidence that, you know, that we can all achieve this if we just are in the game.
And I think that's important for anybody that's listening or that's going to be watching Branded by Women. It's about just being able to get out there, get the education, understand the game, and then move forward. And anybody can succeed in this. You just have to do it. And I think if I were to watch, and I am going to be watching Branded by Women, if what I'm going to take out of there are nuggets. And if I take those nuggets, I hate that word, and I apply them and take action steps, I can do it. And that's what's important. I don't care if you're a man, woman, or a garden gnome. If you take those action steps, you can really do it. Yeah. So, you know, Kellyanne, I'd like to hear a bit more from you. And you've exited your brand. Now you with Amazing Exits, the podcast. So you're all about exits. Let's talk a bit about that.
Sure. Well, first, I just want to say, Michelle, thank you. I couldn't have said it any better. Everything you shared, I think, as women, we can all relate. And there is something very special when women come together. Sure, the content is all going to be for everybody to enjoy. And Norm, the last live conference I went to was the Empowering Women's Conference. And I was so excited to see so many men, including yourself there. But when we all come together, that's when we can really kind of let our hair down and really express ourselves and know that, you know what, I don't have to compare myself to, you know, the man on stage. You know, as women, we're born, I think, multitaskers, and we're expected to be great multitaskers. And I think we are, but it's hard. And they actually say that multitasking actually reduces your productivity. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, men, I don't think have to face that multitasking challenge like women have to show up for. So thanks again for that, Michelle. But yeah, so I sold my brand, but going through the process of selling it, which between educating myself and going through the process was almost a year for my exit planning, I really fell in love with the whole space of building an e-commerce business to sell it as a path to wealth creation. And so I knew I wanted to be involved in helping Amazon entrepreneurs become millionaires. And certainly many of them are out there already with running their businesses, but I was just listening to a webinar. I think it was the Titan Network. I want to give them credit where credit's due. And Scott Dietz was speaking, and he said, the best time to start planning your business is before you even ever start it. Because one of four things is going to happen. Either you're going to run it till the day you die, which doesn't sound very fun, or you're going to run it until it fails, or you're going to run it for the rest of your life, or you're going to exit. So people don't think about exiting or exit planning as, you know, sexy. It's, you know, being proactive. But if you just spent 1 hour a week planning for your exit, having an exit strategy, you're just going to have a much better business that's producing more cash flow, more earnings, and then have the ability to sell it someday for a big payday. So I'm very passionate about helping as many Amazon entrepreneurs as possible realize that dream, because guess what? We've all built this amazing skill set. We can go out and do it again. And so it's really a great path to wealth, in my opinion.
Very good. How about yourself, Anne?
Well, yes, Michelle, absolutely. I did ASM when I was 6 months pregnant, and I had a one-year-old son. So I was very tired and very hormonal, and my product launched when my daughter was 3 months old. And so I think as women, we can kind of understand that struggle and just share in our kind of time management tips. But something else I think is really important is, you know, I think as women in business, I found this a lot as a lawyer, you know, since women have entered the workforce, we've kind of been expected to act like men in the workforce. And what I feel is that there's really nothing wrong with us celebrating our differences. So I don't take it as necessarily that I have different struggles or that I've had different hurdles. I mean, we all have hurdles. We all have struggles, you know, and family things, but we also all really have different strengths. And this is kind of stereotyping a little. Everybody, you know, has their own thing. But, you know, men tend to be, you know, they're really competitive. They really have the drive to move forward. They love, you know, getting into the tactics and how do we do this thing and that thing. And I think as women that we tend to be able to flow a little bit more. We have a more creative side kind of naturally. That's not to say that men aren't creative, because there are many amazing creative men. But from my perspective as a woman, what I bring to my business that I think is special is that creative side, and then also the ability to really understand and communicate with my customers, because, you know, I am a mother, and nurturing is something that comes very natural to me after having my kids. And so I put that into my business as well, in how I communicate with my customers through my social media, through you know, Instagram lives, through YouTube videos that I do, and then also just through my listing, through that communication that I really, what my brand is about is that I want people to know the brand story. I want them to know me. And I think in this space, you know, now 2020, 2021, I mean, running an Amazon business, it's so much harder and so much more expensive than when I started in 2017. I mean, you make your listing and you can, I kind of fumbled and guessworked my way through PPC, and that worked. And now we have, you know, video ads and headline ads and, you know, videos on all different parts of your listing. So I think that whole creative process is so much more important, and your branding is so much more important. If you want to really create a sustainable brand and you really want to have a really good exit, I think you have to tie all those elements in a lot more. And I think as women, that's just a great strength that we have that we can share, you know, with everyone, whether they are men or women.
You know, thinking back about PPC, so when I got onto Amazon, there was no PPC. And did you know, I didn't know that there's 30 different types of PPC on Amazon right now. 30. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah. So I like to throw out another question. This one, let's start with Kellyanne. And that during the time you started your Amazon store or listing, were there any surprises that kind of came out to left field, and like the biggest surprise or the biggest hurdle that you had? I'm kind of curious what it was.
How much time do we have, Norm?
Yeah.
There's quite a few, but one thing in particular really always sticks with me. And that was when Amazon.com itself was selling my product, and they would not admit to it. And I don't know how they got it. I don't know if it was just a bunch of inventory that went missing, but they would come and go on my best-selling listing for, it was well over a year. And I took this all the way up to the food chain, up to Jeff@Amazon.com I never got any clear answers as to how that happened.
That's crazy. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't have an answer to it to this day. So, you know, I love Amazon. I love the opportunity they have given all of us to utilize their platform. I've done a lot of PR from Amazon. I've been in a lot of their programs, and I'm very grateful. But there's also a bad side to Amazon where, you know, they can take advantage because of all the data that they have to leverage. And so, I don't know, my suspicion is that maybe they just had a batch produced and they were testing. I have no idea, but it was very disheartening and worrisome for sure.
Oh, man. Okay, how about you, Anne?
For me, I think my biggest hurdles in the beginning were hijackers, you know, people coming onto my listing, which I don't think happens as much anymore. But, you know, in the beginning, I had people coming on and selling my products. And then something that has come back to bite me again is just Amazon's random suspension policy. Like, you know, something happens, they suspend you first and deal with it later. So guilty, you know, before proven innocent. And that was, I had a bunch of just hurdles to deal with in that space. And now they're kind of doing it again, requiring all these different testings and everything and approvals and kicking you off. And I think it just requires a lot of patience and a lot of just something that I tell my friends who start Amazon, who get really frustrated with that. And like, listen, this is a real business. You are building a real company. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that at the beginning because you're not in a store or whatever. But I always remind myself that my worst day as an Amazon seller is still way better than my best day as a corporate lawyer. Yeah, that was way more difficult. Those clients were a lot more difficult than Amazon was.
Right. What about you, Michelle?
Yeah, so that my biggest like frustration, I suppose, over the years, again, like we were in the children's, we were targeting the children, and it was the compliance. And it wasn't, we knew that we were producing products that were aimed at children, and we spent a lot on testing. We made sure we were compliant in that country with the right regulations. We met everything. And, you know, one product cost us $11,000 just for the American market. We would pay that. We would make sure we were compliant. But wouldn't you know, the listing goes down, you know, for verification on your compliance, you give them everything. It takes them 6 months to even come back to you. You start, you know, going round and round in circles. And then in the meantime, I would buy up 30 competitor products. Not only were they not compliant, they didn't have any ingredients on them, or their instructions were in Chinese, stroke English. I mean, it was, that's, but we couldn't get anywhere. We were saying, look, you, here's our testing certificate. Here's everything you need to see. We are compliant. And here's 30 ASINs on Amazon that don't even have ingredients on them, are exactly the same. So it was exactly that. It was, you just want to tear your hair out, you want to throw your computer at the wall. It's just, you know, those sort of things can really push you to your limits. And when it takes 6 months or so to get your listing back up and it's one of your top selling ASINs, that's really hard. And you never know if it's going to come back. You just don't know what's going to happen. That's, you know, that's one of the scary things. And the other thing I've always struggled with and still struggle with to this day is learning, and this again, Kellyanne is what Brian Moran teaches, so I'm a very big fan of his, but is how to move from being an entrepreneur to being an owner. I've really struggled with that. Whether, I don't think it's a woman thing, I think it's just a bit of a control freak and also thinking no one else can do the job that I can do. And also I don't have the time to teach people how to do them to the standard I want them to do them at, so I may as well do the job myself. And then I end up just, you know, fizzling out and reaching breaking point because, like you say, there's 30 different PPC things you have to learn. I did not know that. And yeah, so I have to work on that myself, is how to become more of an owner and delegate these tasks. And like Anne said, you know, I could be really good at the creative side and really neglectful of the data and the statistics and everything. So I need to bring someone in that's good at that, because my energy does not go there. My energy goes more on the branding, on the creation. So, yeah, so those are the two probably biggest struggles I have. One of them is Amazon's failings, and the other is mine.
Yeah, and just not doing everything yourself. You know, that's one of the things that I made a mistake at the beginning, was just trying to become an expert in everything, and I'm not. I hate accounting. I know accounting. I don't like doing it. You know, I outsource it. Facebook ads, same thing. I know a little bit about it, but I outsource it. And, you know, being able to do that, you get a little bit of your time back, and you can focus more on running your business, you know, rather than doing all these small little tasks that are wasting your time. But at the beginning, you kind of got to suck it up and you do it all yourselves.
Yeah, you have to. There's no escape from it in the beginning. It's your business. You have to learn. You know, you have to put on all the hats, and you have to understand things, because before you can give it to someone else, you have to have at least, a good grasp on what it is. And I think, again, one of the points that I wanted to point out was it is harder now. You know, when we started 2014, 15, yes, there were frustrations that there aren't now, but it was harder and it was a different game. So sometimes when you perhaps listen to someone like myself who's sold the business, and you're thinking, yeah, but they started at the right time, you know, it was easier to get reviews, it was easier to rank. That is true. It is harder now, but I still think the opportunities are huge. There will be, you know, difficulties. You'll need more cash flow probably to get going than you used to, more capital. And it's, your skill set needs to be even greater to compete. Like Anne said, you used to be able to throw something up to a bit of PPC and get it ranked. Can't do that now. So it is harder. And I think we do need to acknowledge that, because sometimes I'm worried that I give off the wrong message that this is easy, you know. Oh, I just work 2 hours a day and I've sold my business for a lot of money. And that's not the reality. And I don't want anyone to think or to beat themselves up because they're not achieving, because we're not recognizing that it is hard these days.
But if you think back, so if I were to open up a shoe store in Toronto back in the day, I would have to get bricks and mortar place. I'd have to, you know, get the insurance on the complete facility. I'd have to buy the inventory. I'd have to do all the heavy marketing. It's not the same. So you can get involved. And that's what I love about e-com is you can get involved. And as long as you do it right, and I'm not talking about doing it right, like you have to have a certain strategy. You just have to understand, you have to take action, and you got to go for it. And one of the biggest things, at least for what I found, is competitiveness. If you don't do the research at the beginning, it's tough to know. If you don't have the proper competitive research and you don't have the proper brand, I think it's very hard to succeed on Amazon. And I don't know how all of you feel about this, but price point. So Fiverr and all these others, there's certain jobs I think a Fiverr person can do. But for your brands, like for all of your brands, I'm kind of interested in this because I think perceived value has a lot to do with success on Amazon and not having to deal with the bottom dwellers. What do you feel about that? Like building your brand? Well, the micro brand, the name of the show, The Rise of the Micro Brands. What do you think about building a brand? How important was that for all of you to do to either exit or build the brand?
It's extremely important. I believe that Amazon has become a brand-centric platform. And in order to have a sellable asset, you have to have a brand. You absolutely have to. And so I'm naturally a very analytical, data-driven person as opposed to the creative, although starting this Amazon business brought out the creative side in me, but I still needed a little help. So I invested in a branding consultant, in a creative director to help me with, you know, all of my content and my messaging and my packaging. And I really think that that made a world of difference to just give the brand the aesthetic that it would need to be able to succeed off channel. Even though I never succeeded building it off the Amazon channel, I tried, but then I realized my skill set really was Amazon. I think that in order to have something that's going to grow, it has to have a cohesive message. It needs to be serving a particular audience, and that audience needs to be loyal. And once you create that, you have, you know, a winning formulation for not only a successful, thriving business, but also to be able to sell that as an asset.
Very good.
I think it's so important, especially if you want to have any kind of cash flow, that you really have to be able to charge a premium price. I was just talking about this with a friend and an Amazon seller the other day that, you know, now in the wake of COVID, I think even more people are shopping. You know, when I first started shopping on Amazon, it was, you know, that's where I would go for all the bargain deals and I was looking for cheap stuff. But now everybody is shopping online and Amazon is just easier for a customer because they can go and buy everything. So they're buying and they have Prime. So they're looking for like absolutely everything, their baby registry, their wedding registry, you know, whatever. My baby registry was on Amazon because I was too lazy to go on to a whole bunch of different stores. And so I think that there is way more of an opportunity for premium price products. And I think having had experience with, you know, things in the $20 price range and things on a higher price point, I mean, from a cash flow standpoint, if you're selling above $40 for your items, you're going to make so much more money. And for my brand, I started selling my products at $40 and I was at 65. I've come down to 60, but as I raised my price, I started getting more and more customers and people being more and more loyal. I mean, if you have a higher price, you have to have the quality mm-hmm. and the branding to back it up. But that was the thing I think that really made my brand successful was coming in with really good photos and really good branding because I was modeling myself off of, it was a product that I found on Amazon that worked, but I was modeling myself after the brands that sold off Amazon because Amazon sellers are not great branders. Typically, if you look at people who sell on Instagram, who sell on Shopify, they really have to work a lot harder. And I base my photos and my ideal, you know, kind of lifestyle images off of that. And I think it really helped to set me apart. And I think people are looking for premium priced products and premium quality products. And if you can set yourself apart in that way, you can charge more and people are going to see the perceived value. I mean, sometimes if you raise your price, you're gonna get more customers because they're looking for something, you know, depending what you sell, especially if it's baby products or like skincare products. You can sell an eye gel for $9.99 and people are gonna expect that it's gonna be something crappy. If you put it at $40, they're gonna assume, you know, there's people that are looking in those kind of luxury price points.
We're doing an experiment right now with some beauty products where we're doing a low, medium, and high. It's all the same product, just different packaging. And it's the difference between a $40 and a $200 product. So we're going to run it for the next 6 months or so, and we're going to do a case study on it and come back and let everybody know what happens. We've already done that with kitchen products. We have a kitchen product that is was out at $49, and it's at $124 now. And now we've put a wood casing, and it's $224.
That's brilliant. That's awesome.
Kelly, I think I told you about that during our talk on your podcast. But the especially like if you get people coming onto an Amazon page. And you've got a whole bunch of people that want to be bottom dwellers, and it's a $10 product and you're selling at $24. The other thing you have to remember is what's the quality score of those buyers? Do you want a whole bunch of discounters coming in and buying your product? They don't have any brand loyalty. You know, they just want the lowest price.
Let them buy from the Chinese manufacturers.
There you go. You know, let them have the nickels when you can make dollars. And my biggest mistake on Amazon was my first product. And again, I just paid my Amazon tax. I figured it out now what to do, but you know, selling a product that was $10, $465 in Amazon prep fees and shipping it out, all of a sudden $465 was taken off of everywhere. I made nothing. I had to sell thousands, but the trick was just to package them in 3-packs now. So, anyways, that made it. Now it's a $30 item. Now I can make money. But anyways. Michelle, I don't know if you have anything to say about that topic as well on the perceived value side.
Well, the only thing I can add really is where I achieved my success was when I stopped selling random stuff from China on Amazon, you know, which was all the model that we learned. When I stopped doing that and I actually focused on my brand, which was what my corporate background was in anyway. And that's where things really started to scale up. Get some traction behind it and created the asset that I sold in the end. So yeah, it for me, it was everything. It was just that mindset switch to creating a brand. And also it calmed everything else down for me. It calmed all the noise that was going on around me down. I knew who my target market was. I knew what products that they wanted. I knew what I was going to launch. I knew what my tone of voice was. Everything just became laser focused and I could focus in and achieve the success that I achieved. Yeah.
Very good. So at this point, Kelsey, why don't we come in and talk about the prize again, talk about the hashtag.
Yeah.
Hey, Kelsey.
Okay. So if you haven't seen my posts at the bottom, we're giving away 3 VIP upgrades for free. They're worth about $99. And all you need to do is just use the hashtag branded by a woman and you'll be entered. So if you see here, Andrew Smith just post hashtag branded by woman and he's entered into the draw. And if you're watching from Norm Farrar's personal Facebook page, we're not able to bring your posts up. So, but I am checking and adding people in. So if you don't see your name, that's the reason. And last thing, if you see your name as coming up as Facebook user, if you go to the link streamyard.com/Facebook, which I posted here, that'll fix that issue from if you're watching from the group. It's just a privacy thing that you need to change. And okay. I think that's it.
And when is the conference? I guess we should tell about
that's
the date.
Good question.
Yeah, so it's for 3 days. It's the 24th, 25th, and 26th of February. And it is free content, so you can log in and you can listen to all of the amazing speakers. There's 30 speakers covering every single topic you could think of, you know, from the accounting to the legal, to people that have had an exit, to listing optimization, to how important having a coach is or a mentor, everything is there. So it's free access for those 3 days. And then if you want to have the, you know, the lifelong access, if you can't watch things live and you want to be able to go back to them or add those files to your training, then it's $99.
Yeah, and one of the things that I can tell you about seller sessions and anything that Danny's touching is there's no pitch fest. You know, you go there and you're getting knowledge, you're getting education. So this is definitely something that you want to do and just check it out. Again, I wouldn't be promoting if I didn't feel strongly about the conference as well as, you know, Seller Sessions as a whole. So anyway, so yeah, if you're interested in this, please hashtag branded by women. If you know anybody who is interested in listening more about the podcast, we've got a few more questions, and just please invite them or tag them and get them in on the live conference. So the other thing I'd like to know just about the conference is who else is going to be speaking?
Oh gosh, it's such a long lineup. I mean, there's obviously us, you've got Karen Thomas, you've got Cara Sayer, who comes at Amazon from a very different point of view. She actually invented her own product and then has tremendous success. She used to sell it in retail, cut that when she couldn't get any margins and they were ripping her off. And now she's had huge success on Amazon. Gosh, we've got legal. We've got Yael Kabili, who's in Israel, who offers great mm-hmm. legal services. I don't know, women, anyone else you've got?
There's so many, I have to check the list.
Great people from the Titan group, they're a great group. Shauna had a coach and mentor people. So you've got Alicia Shapiro, obviously Athena Severi is one of the hosts on there. Who else have we got? Blimey, the list
is so good. Isabella Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everything.
Oh, very good. That.
Ranking, listing, legal, everything. It's covered.
Is it strictly Amazon, or are you learning more about other types of e-commerce platforms, or is it just Amazon focused?
It's mostly Amazon.
Mostly Amazon. Okay. And this is a strange question, but I've heard somebody just posted this or messaged me the other day on this. Is Amazon saturated? I'll let you guys answer. I have my own opinion on this. And what do you think?
I would say absolutely not. It is saturated with a lot of cheap crap. yeah. But I think we've all identified here today that the way to succeed is to build a brand. And as long as you are, you know, creating quality products and taking care of your customers and also creating premium content and showcasing that, I think that's a recipe for success. Is it easy? No. But can it be achieved by anybody? Absolutely yes, I think.
Very good. Michelle, Anne, do you have anything to add?
I totally agree with everything that Kellyanne said. Yeah. Can you just go on and copy someone else's product who's being successful, you know, selling at $15? No. Not anymore. And, you know, there are a lot of Chinese sellers who are selling, and so they can really bottom out their prices because they have huge order quantities. So if you are going to come in, I think it's really important to know that it does take work, that you have to have a really good product, that you have to innovate, you know, in some way and offer something that people are, you know, really looking for, really be able to get into who is the mind of your ideal customer and how exactly you want to serve them. And definitely starting off with really strong branding and being able to invest in having really great photos and video content. I think it's, you know, now it's all about how can you really set yourself apart, because the playing field, you know, it's people are playing at a really high level now. And everybody is capable of doing that. But, you know, it's not the days of buying a product, throwing it up and making some money anymore. It definitely does take a lot of work. But we're here to help.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it also, you know, Amazon, it's not saturated. I mean, when I was looking to go into my brand number two, I probably had about 10 ideas, you know, somewhere that I thought I could actually fit in. There was room for me to carve out a little piece of the pie for myself. But I think it's also important. It's your business. It's your business plan. It's your business model. You know, gone are the days where you have to, you know, you're aiming for maybe 1,000 units every day. If you're saying on your plan that you only need 10 units a day and you're going to sell it into the marketplaces, or you only need 5 units a day and you can make it work, then that's what you focus on. Don't worry about the person over here that's selling 2,000 units a day or the person over here selling 500. It's your business plan. You know how many units a day you've got to sell. You know what margins you've got to make. And then you stick to that, you focus down, and you just work your butt off.
Right. Yep. Work your butt off. That's it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be my father taught me this, and it's you don't have to be selling the sexy products. You can sell the brown bag products, and some of the places where we've made our most money has been on brown bag products. For example, toe wart remover. You know, nobody wants to go into a store and buy toe wart remover, chair glides, moving glides. You know, these are things that a lot of people don't think about. But take a chair glide, for example. You can see them for $1.99. You know, okay, go ahead, buy them for $1.99. Mine are going to be $10. And why? Because they're in a nice little package. So you can sell them all day long, you know, and there's other opportunities on Amazon. Like, we talk a lot about private label sellers, right? So, you know, you're creating your brand. Don't forget about B2B. So those chair glides, they were great. People, you know, used them when they bought chairs and they want to scratch their floor. But think how many stores actually wanted to do it. You could set your prices up. So now Amazon becomes a wholesale route for you, you know, where people can come in and buy your products, you know, by bulk, 1,000 units rather than, you can negotiate your prices. A lot of people don't realize that. But there's so many different things that you can do. Plus, you establish yourself on Amazon and you can go to so many different platforms now. You know, Walmart is really taking a bigger, much bigger interest right now. It's a tougher platform to get on right now than it used to, but that's taking off. eBay, all these things. There's just so many opportunities. And again, I don't know anybody else's products, but you know, just you going over and you nailed it. You've got these incredible pictures. You've got the brand. You've got an eBay or a Shopify store. You know, driving tons of traffic over that store should convert. I don't know. I think you probably get just as many sales off of your eBay store, or sorry, your Shopify store than Amazon. So that's another, you know, interest. Are any of you looking outside, or do any of you suggest going over and starting with Shopify or Amazon and Shopify, or just concentrating more on Amazon?
It depends on your skill set. It's a completely different business model to sell on your own e-commerce site to be able to drive traffic and convert that traffic than it is to sell on Amazon. So if you have that skill set, absolutely. If you've learned how to leverage Amazon to start and build a scalable, sellable brand, then double down on Amazon. And what we recommend for people doing on the podcast is, you know, leave the other channels as growth opportunities for whoever you're going to sell the business to. It's just you have to know what your skill sets are and what you're good at. And I think there's so many Amazon sellers that feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to be on this channel and that channel. I've got to do all these things. And then they end up taking their eye off the golden goose, which is Amazon. And they end up diluting their efforts. And it causes a lot of harm. And it hits their profitability. And I think many of us have fallen victim to that. Those are just my words of caution that, you know, you really have to know yourself and what you want out of your business.
Yeah. And if you master Amazon and you're doing really well there, and I don't know about you ladies, but I don't have the energy or the inclination to go and learn how to sell on Shopify to the degree we know how to sell on Amazon, because that's, like you say, another skill set. Then again, that mindset from moving from an entrepreneur to an owner, there are consultants out there, there are agencies that know Shopify, you know, the same way we know Amazon. So when the time is right, and it's certainly not in the beginning, you know, like you say, doubling down on Amazon, but when the time is right, if the time is right, and I think that's a viable channel for us, I hope that I remember my words to myself and I get someone else in to do that for me.
Good point.
Yeah, I think for sure Amazon is definitely the place to start. And I think it is a lot less expensive to start on Amazon. I think if you're going on Amazon and you have a brand that you've really built out the story, you've built out your multimedia, and especially if it's more premium products, I think once you really have the cash flow, because somebody is going to have to be, if you're going to move to Shopify, you're going to have to set somebody managing your Amazon brand and doing your day-to-day PPC and your data. Shopify is definitely a lot more expensive to get started on because your site, your technical stuff has to be really, really good. It's much more difficult to build a Shopify site. and to build out those assets, and you have to spend a lot on Facebook ads, you're going to be losing money as you're testing. Whereas, you know, on PPC is a lot more user-friendly on Amazon. But I think Shopify is great if you really have your audience very defined that you can target them. If you have great social assets, you know, on Facebook and Instagram, and if your products have a story to tell, because what I really like about Shopify is that you can use long form product pages and you really tell the story of your brand, of your products, exactly what they do. You get so much more space. You can put videos that you want. You also can really increase your prices because your people are looking at your products, your media, your story. So if you've got really beautiful media, people aren't, you know, comparing you to someone who's selling for $30 less than you. They're just looking at just your media and your voice and your message and your product match your price point. And if it does, you can get them on there. And if you have a group of products that all sell together, then you can use Shopify to upsell, cross-sell. You know, you just have so much more control. So that's what I really like about it. But it is, you're not going to be doing both by yourself on a shoestring budget. You know, succeed on Amazon first, build out your brand, hire someone to run your Amazon business, and then move on to Shopify, I think.
Very good. So going back, Kelly, if you wanted to start off this question, business evaluation, if somebody is building their Amazon store or their business, what is one thing that comes to mind that people might overlook to help with their evaluation to get the most out of their Amazon account when they do come to exit?
It's focusing on their bottom line, their earnings or their cash flow or their profitability versus that vanity metric that so many of us sellers love to focus on, that top line. That doesn't mean anything when it comes time to selling your business. You have to, when you're selling a business, you're selling a cash flow stream. That's what somebody is buying. And they want to take that cash flow stream and they want to grow it. They don't want it to stay stable. They want to grow it. So you need to sell when you're on your way up. And you need to be showing good profitability, hopefully 20% or more, and really healthy earnings. And that's the most important thing. And to do that, of course, you've got to have good bookkeeping and record keeping and good accounting and all of that.
Anything else from Michelle or from Anne on that?
No, I totally agree. I mean, when I came to exit my business, it all came down to the numbers, you know, the bottom line, the growth trajectory, you know, the moat that we built around our Amazon business for sure, but it all came down to the numbers. And I used Scott Deitch, you mentioned him before, a consultant from Northbound, to help me because I'd never been through anything like this before. You know, it was just me. I had this business, I wanted to exit, and man, did I learn a lot. I learned so much, and I learned about the numbers, and I learned about the forecasting, and I learned about the margins, and I learned about what you need to be doing. Some people think, oh, I'm going to sell my business tomorrow or in 2 months' time. It can take a long time to get your books ready to sell because you have to have a totally different strategy. You know, you put the brakes on the spending and you want to show you know, the increase in the margins, you want to show the increase in the growth. So you're almost like spinning the business around and looking at it through a different lens because you're gearing it up to sell, and that can take time. You know, it's like trying to turn a plane around quickly. You can't do it. You've got to do it slowly, and you've got to make small changes so that you can, when you do go and present your business to exit, that you're presenting it in the right light for an exit.
Exactly. Right. I like to say that selling your business, it's not turning on or off a light switch. It's a journey. It's a marathon. And I spent about 2 years on that journey of planning and then going out to market and then closing on the deal. So it takes just being proactive for sure.
Due diligence sucks.
It does. But if you're prepared, it's not as bad.
No, that's right. Anne, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really. I hate the numbers, and that's why I've been very resistant as well about selling my brand. I'm still more in the growth phase. But I do think it's really important right from the beginning, if you're starting your business. I definitely, and it's terrible because I was a finance lawyer, but so financial due diligence was my life for 7 years. Wow. But it's that you really do want to start out keeping track of your numbers, knowing what's coming in, what's going out, and having a handle on it. The great thing is now that there's so much software to help you with that. And definitely, if you haven't started your Amazon business and you're wanting to get into it, at Branded by Women, really pay attention to the tax and the accounting people who are speaking and the people talking about exit. Because if you go into your business being prepared for exit, even if you don't want to exit, you know, for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever, if you're running your business like you're going to exit, you're going to have a full handle on the numbers. And that's really important, because if you make a mess in the beginning and you just kind of fly by the seat of your pants, you're going to get lost, and it's way harder to clean it up after the fact. I mean, I'm sure Kellyanne and you guys who've exited probably have a lot more understanding of that, but cleaning up a mess is a lot harder than, you know, staying clean and organized from the beginning.
Very good. Absolutely. So last question, and we'll start with Michelle. What are you excited about in 2021?
Gosh, well, we've just started our new brand, so I'm just excited full stop. You know, we incorporated in February 2020. Our products arrived in October 2020. We did a little tester in the UK only with 4 SKUs, and it was incredible. It just got all my, you know, excitement back up again. And there have been days when I think, what the hell have I done? Why have I come back into this? You know, when you know you're going back. You see, there have been many of those times, but overall, it's just excitement. I can't wait to, you know, see the products, get the products launched, see what they can do, and get that excitement back again at the beginning of a brand, at the beginning of a business. It's almost like having a new child, you know? Where can I take this? What can I do? What, you know, where can it go? It's that excitement, which, yeah, that's what drives me and motivates me. So I'm just excited.
Great. Anne?
Well, Michelle, I wish you tons of success and abundance in your new business. It's really exciting. For me, I am really excited that Amazon has become so much more brand-centric. I love doing videos and photos. And so the fact that I can put videos everywhere really makes me excited and makes me feel like I can stand out and tell the story. And I think it just... For me, that's the fun part of the business, is the impact and the story that we can make around our brands. And I am also launching another brand with a business partner that is really exciting. The brand story of that one is really close to my heart, and is also actually about empowering women. And it's just, I did my first brand, I did all by myself, and I didn't even have any entrepreneur friends, and I was pregnant and I had these 2 teeny babies, and it was just very lonely and a lot of hard work. And this brand I'm doing with one of my absolute most favorite women in the world, and it's really, really fun to have a partner.
Yeah, that it'll be a different experience.
Yeah.
How about you, Kellyanne?
I'm excited for so many things, but since we started our podcast, Paul Miller and I, the Amazing Exits podcast, we have connected with so many wonderful entrepreneurs and thought leaders in mergers and acquisitions, in Amazon and e-commerce. And I just really want to get the message out there that there's never been a better time than 2021 to knowing what the true value of this great asset that you've built. And it can be a means to financial independence and even financial freedom just by building these types of businesses and selling them. We all know all of the aggregators that have poured into the space. Billions of dollars are trying to buy these Amazon-based businesses. Mm-hmm. So as sellers, we have all the leverage. I think prices are going to go up for businesses. So it's really a good time to have your exit plan in place. And I'm just excited to kind of continue spreading that word.
Very good. Okay, so I think it's that time. Kelsey.
Yeah, so I know, Kellyanne, you have to get going.
We've got to record a couple episodes right now. So thank you so much for having me, everybody.
It was okay, wonderful. See you later, Kellyanne. Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so we're just at the end of our podcast as well. We're just going to select the 3 winners.
We do have a few questions that came in from the audience.
First of all, Anne, Michelle, there's a couple questions. Do you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I don't want to keep you, Anne, from going out to the beach or anything. You know?
I'm really hot. I'm like sitting here sweating. I'm just dreaming about the pool
Anne,
that's outside.
Take the knife out of my back, please.
Sorry, Norm. You just got to come visit.
I will. I can't get out of the country, though.
All right. Okay. So our first question is from Red. Are these inspiring ladies on Clubhouse?
Oh, I keep hearing about Clubhouse. You've got to be on it. You've got to be on it. You're missing out. And it's thrown me because I'm trying to say, no, I don't need any more noise. I don't need any more. You know, I listen to so much. I'm happy with my podcast. And then someone sent me an invitation and I accepted it. And I think I filled out some sort of profile. And now I keep getting pinged with all these Clubhouse conversations and it's already starting to stress me out. So I'm sure it's an amazing platform. I'm sure there's some amazing conversations taking place. But I'm a very big believer in focusing and quietening down the noise and staying, you know, I will go and search for what I need to find out rather than just being bombarded. So I am on there technically, but I have no idea what I'm doing on there and I'm not actively using it.
Well, you by accepting the invitation, you drank the Kool-Aid. So, What about you, Anne?
I am not. For the same reason as Michelle, I'm already overwhelmed by the other social media that I manage for my brand and trying to keep up with things. And right now, just working on new projects, I have to. I think, you know, everybody has their media of choice, you know, whether it's podcasts or Instagram or YouTube. And I think if you're starting a new business, you can really, now there are so many resources available. But I think it's really important to chunk down and really choose who you want to model, and who you want to follow. So if you know, you're starting and you follow like Norm and you do one Amazon course, you know, or, you know, if you join Titan and then you pay attention to what you're learning in Titan Network, I think otherwise you're going to get stuck in analysis paralysis. And do you want to be building your brand or spending 6 hours a day listening to other people talk about how they built their brands? Yeah. You know, if you do, if you start, if Clubhouse is your thing, that's great. But then don't do too many other things aside from Clubhouse.
I can do it better myself.
Okay, great. What about the next question, Kelsey?
Okay, this one's from Simon. Do you not think that Amazon prices are creeping up? Is it because sellers are becoming more professional and realize profit is essential to be a long-term business?
I was just shopping on Amazon the other day, and I noticed, I do think prices are definitely coming up. I also think that's because the cost of selling on Amazon is higher. Now PPC is higher. Now your listing has to be more professional. So you're spending, you know, I mean, you could be spending several thousand dollars before you've even got your listing up. So I think that's part of it. I do think, you know, profit is incredibly important, obviously. And I just think that also people are selling higher quality products and they're concentrating more on branding. So I think that's why prices are creeping up. But I do think it's really important, you know, when you're shopping on Amazon or looking at things to compare, a lot of people are charging high prices and you get it and it's junk. You know, but I think there's a great space to build a really good brand and charge premium prices.
I hate to say this, but I was buying a light bulb. So I was buying a light bulb and I was comparing the price, reading reviews on a bloody light bulb. Like at a store, I would have just gone, okay, light bulb.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a time suck. I must have taken 5 to 10 minutes on picking which light bulb I was going to add to my cart. But Michelle, sorry, I interrupted you.
No. I think there are some products where, you know, it's not price sensitive. If I want a spatula or if, you know, I want something, I know it's going to come from China. It's going to come in an unbranded brown box. I don't care. It's $4.99. That's what I need. It comes tomorrow. I buy it. But I definitely think consumer confidence in Amazon is growing and they are looking at the higher priced products and they are looking at the videos and they are looking at the reviews and they are looking at the brand offering. And for that, they will pay a higher price for it because they don't want to waste 2 days waiting for it to come and then they have to return it because it's a piece of junk. Their confidence is growing and I think those higher prices instill that confidence in what they're buying most of the time.
Very good. Okay, Kels, next.
Okay, and then there was one question. I'm not sure if you're able to answer this, Norm, but What kind of beauty product do you sell?
It'll be a variety, but it's topical products.
Okay. And so I think that's pretty much it. We can do the wheel now. We got lots of people, so just give me a second.
Win a holiday to Costa Rica to see Anne in that amazing
It was amazing that she gave that as a giveaway, by the way.
All right. Okay. So I'll just take this off. So we're giving away three. So 3, 2, 1.
This is where you say wheel of Kelsey.
All right, Sarah.
Yay, Sarah.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, Faye.
Okay. And I'll give
and
these
last
one, good
one.
Shuffle.
Man. Rad, do you buy lottery tickets? He wins everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how many times he's won something, but anyways, all right. Well, I think that's it. Again, the conference, the 3-day conference, starts on February the 24th, branded by women. And is there anything else that you'd like to say in closing, Anne, Michelle?
Just, you know, yeah, 3 days, packed content from everything, you know. You can dip in, you can dip out, you can say things, you can come back to them. It's an amazing conference. It's the second year running, and it's just got such a great lineup of speakers. So, yeah.
And one last thing, the cost of it again. It's free, and then there would be a $99 upgrade.
Yeah, so it's free if you're just watching it live as it comes on. And then if you want to buy it and have lifelong access to it, then it's $99.
Okay. All right, ladies, it's been awesome having you on. I'm definitely going to be checking that out on the 24th. You're both awesome. I wish Kellyanne was on because I wanted to call her awesome as well. But, you know, just let her know for me. Anyways, yeah, thanks a lot for spending your time with us today. Guys, check out the Branded by Women Conference. And that's it for today's podcast. All right. So join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tomorrow, we are going to be having Lil Roberts on, and she is another incredible entrepreneur. She's going to be talking about Amazon accounting, the do's, the don'ts, and everything in between. So Kelsey, wind us down.
I know we got some new viewers today. So if you are interested in seeing more content, join our Facebook group. You can find us at Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective, and join the Beard Nation, as we call it. And that's where you can meet some of the experts, ask any questions, or if you're looking for advice on something specific, you can always ask us there. And just hang out with us and build a community. And if you've missed an episode or you're just catching the tail end of this one, you can go over to the YouTube channel, Norman Farrar, and you'll be able to find all the highlights, clips, all a bunch of stuff there. So that's pretty much it on my side.
Okay. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. Thank you for being part of the community, and we'll see you next time.
Lunch with the lunch.